so forth. He's not a slumlord.
Okay. Just paint over it.
Look, unless they lean on that section of the wall, nobody will ever know. We were talking about someone else. Talking about someone who works on a... we're talking about Paul Hanson. It's 24 seconds after the hour of, 12 noon. Yes, that. In this... Let me start over. It's 34 seconds after the hour of 12 of this, the month of July, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day, and so forth. News guys. This is the Rick Emerson Show, live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for your radio patronage and your presence. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Thursday, and welcome to day 12. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
If you'd like to... Want me to color my hair?
Man, I'm not saying I regret it, because, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But I got to tell you, I had no idea the response. I'm not going to get sidetracked with this, but there's an update on the whole unpleasantness with my wedding suit, or lack thereof. There's a few different responses. First of all, if you go to my blog today, which is at rickemerson.com, and we also got the obligatory MySpace. We got hundreds of MySpace pages. I've got one. Sarah's got one. The show's got one. We've got one where we lied and said we were a band just so we could get sound. There's a Rick Emerson Show sound. Tim does not have one. He has stayed MySpace free, and I commend you, sir.
You know, I'd like to, but I don't have time. I'm a busy businessman.
Too busy buying up cheap real estate in the bustling, thriving community known as St. John's.
It's coming back.
Uh-huh. You can tell. You can tell because there's a huge article in the St. John's Sentinel today with the headline. I swear to God, this is a headline in the St. John's Sentinel. No hoes in no po. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's how you can tell that they have new spark.
And gangs just want to be loved. This is the title of another one.
St. John's, Oregon. A community on the move.
Crime? What crime?
What crime?
Okay, sure, there is some crime. This is from Stop at the Cop Shop.
Yeah, this is propaganda.
The North Precinct planned its second open house. Now, here's something kind of crazy. They now have an Asian kids club.
In St. John's?
In St. John's.
An Asian kids club?
So they are getting some smart people to move there.
That's Tim Riley who said that. Right. That's Tim Riley who made that rash cultural generalization.
It is true for the most part, wouldn't you say?
And they're good dancers. It's 503-733-2970. I think we just set a land speed record for veering right into some sort of uncomfortable, awkward pastiche of topics.
Hazardous materials are removed from long dormant lot in St. John's. It says
meth.
A barrel.
Meth.
And it has a new label on it that says non-hazardous.
They now have to label. That's how you know you're living in a fantastic neighborhood, when they actually have to go out of their way to label the few barrels in that community that are not filled with the toxic material.
Grand opening of the St. John's Tattoo Shop. July special, $35 for names.
What if you just get one that says Baby Daddy? And that way it kind of covers all of your plans. Doesn't matter which way you go, you're taken care of there. The other one could just say Broad. All right.
A Willie Week reporter loses his camera while covering crime in St. John's.
Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
Stay at the Get Motel.
The Get Motel.
You get what you pay for there, don't you?
And then try to have an ad for a crematorium?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, it's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. My point is... and I'm not going to get totally sidetracked by this, but we may have an update on the wedding suit business, because I did not anticipate, nor did I expect, and you can read more about this at rickemerson.com or MySpace page, I did not anticipate or expect the reaction to the wedding suit story, and I held off on talking about it because it just made me feel all filled with blackness and ick. But we talked about the fact that my brother's wedding is coming up, and there is a small piece of good news, by the way, which I am still screwed, I think. But I'm not screwed for like another 6 days, because I found out that the wedding is not this Saturday, it's next Saturday. So I've got another week to stew in my own juice of dread and fear. So that'll be, I've got another 7 days where I can wallow in a pit of fear and loathing. But I did not anticipate the response from the audience, that not only me being the sole guy at the wedding that didn't have the right wedding suit, that, and then we were just talking about this before the show, this business of my future sister-in-law asking my mom to change her hair color It's for the wedding. My mom, who is not even in the wedding ceremony, who will just be in the audience dabbing at her eyes with a tissue in manner of mother. Anyway, we'll talk about it. Coming up today, we'll do a Rockstar mini recap. Not a whole lot to talk about last night, because it's going to be a few weeks before the awful, nerve-wracking agony of Storm potentially being in the bottom three any given week begins. Last night was just more of cutting the chaff, although they cut the wrong fat out again. Again. So we'll talk about that. We'll have the Week in Geek. I swear to God. I haven't even played it.
Promises.
Can I tell you, I haven't even listened to it. I didn't write it down in my Matrix yesterday, which is why it didn't happen. I haven't even listened to the Week in Geek, and I'm afraid to, because we finished with the show yesterday, and I realized again to my horror and chagrin that I had not played it. And I thought, well, I'll just take a listen to it. And as soon as they fired it up, like I just played the opening... You know, just the opening little sounder of the, and now, and then I had to turn it off. I couldn't listen to it because I was so terrified by the prospect, undoubtedly true, that it's completely outdated already. So we'll find out exactly how outdated the Week in Geek is later on today. Seeing a radio correspondent, Lisa Goddard, who understand is no longer, maybe she's still sick, I don't know. She had 105 fever and was apparently hallucinating things while marooned in Israel, thousands of miles away from real medical care. So I think in Israel this week, medical care just amounts to hoping that you don't get hit by anything that's going to blow you into little pieces.
No, they patch people up really quick there, like they do in Watts, and just send them on their way. They're used to it.
Just like they do in Watts.
It's like an express line. It's sort of depending on what your wounds might be.
It's a triage. It is the St. John's in the Middle East. So, yeah. So there's that. Ed McCarthy will be talking to... I'll just give you the spoiler right now, because Ralph Reed got his ass beaten. Beaten like the family mule. Oh, it's fantastic. There's not really any breaking news there. I'm just going to talk to Ed McCarthy so I can use the phrase, Ralph Reed was soundly defeated as many times as possible. Because it fills me with a warm... It's though there was like a warm jar of cinnamon-infused applesauce inside my heart. That didn't really come out the way I wanted it to. That sounds kind of gross. But you know what I'm talking about. It's just a warm glow inside at the idea of Ralph Reed being defeated. What else? Jim Roop will be here later on as well, etc., etc., so on and so forth. Oh, we've got breaking David Cassidy news just for Scotty J. We are here with the lovely Sarah X. Dillon, as we are always. How are you?
I'm doing all right. The allergies kind of hit me hard today.
You either seem ridden with allergies, drunk, or asleep. Is it a combination of one of the above, or is it
no.
just...
No, I didn't. I just went out for a brief amount of time last night, so in bed at, around 11.
Is this after you and I went our separate ways?
Mm-hmm.
So you and the posse?
Yeah, we went to...
You and the 12-foot-tall Karina Allen?
To paint the town red.
Yes.
And then this morning, it was just a long morning because I'm trying to figure out what to do with Muppet.
Do tell.
Well, because I'm going to a wedding this weekend. No dogs are allowed. Children, of course.
Of course.
Of course they're allowed.
Children, which are really just two-legged dogs that you can't lock up.
So no animals, but children will be running amok. And And then I talked to the DA today for my case, and it's just so frustrating. I'm just like, I have so much paperwork to do to get like a penny out of this girl that...
Probably has no pennies to begin with. Yeah. We should clarify, this is the woman who hit your car while you were inside Sabalas. You're just having a great time. Your car parked out front. A woman and her ne'er-do-well gentleman friend drove a car that did not belong to them into your car, destroyed your car, and then get out and ran away like felons. Mm-hmm. Ran away like thugs and hooligans. And so they caught her. And so her trial is when? August 9th?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Do we know, is it a morning trial? Can we go?
Yeah, it's at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
We are so there. She tried to wash up and put herself together well for the arraignment or whatever that was a couple weeks ago, but I can...
People know us.
Mm-hmm.
I can see right into her black putrid soul. So that's coming up on August 9th. And so you're having the what? You're having to put together... Why are you having to do any work? Didn't the man do that for you?
No, it's so annoying. I don't know nobody can tell me what I'm supposed to do. I have this check from the insurance company that I don't know if I should cash, because I don't know if I should be suing her or...
Sarah.
Sue her.
Don't... You know what you are? You are, in the cartoons, the little devil that appears on your left shoulder. That's a whole lot
I totally want to, but I don't know how to, and I don't know how I can get money from her. Because her insurance company is paying nothing.
Yeah, you've come to the right place. Here's me yesterday. I don't have a suit. Someone find it. Our good friend Lowe's
been able to help me, though. We've been talking about this for a while.
People do not help you.
Our good friend Lowe called from Vegas, and he told me he's got a lead on the suit. So I'm saying this is the power of distributed thought. Well, let's make a note to talk about this later, because the people may be able to chip in and answer some of your questions.
It's just annoying, camper.
Turn your frown upside down.
Yeah. I'm not going to gripe about it. Never mind.
I think you are. I think you're going to say you're not going to gripe, and then you're going to sit and be sullen.
It's just really frustrating that I didn't do anything, and now this girl's just sitting there, you know, casually waiting to pick out what dress she should pick out to go to trial, because all she has to do is wait for insurance to cover, like, this measly little portion of her.
And go to prison, get three hots and a cot and cable TV. This is the fault of activist judges. Come on. You know you want to say it. You're going to be voting Republican within a year. I can smell it. You know, the problem is with the liberal justice system that acts as a revolving door and not a deterrent. No, we'll talk about it later, because otherwise it's going to sit and fester like a bad case of athlete's foot. It's going to be like athlete's foot of the soul. And you're going to sit and you're going to seethe and become more and more angry about it. And then we're all going to have to take you out and liquor you up to get you cheerful again. And I don't want that. No one wants that, Sarah.
Okay.
We wish for you to be perky and lovable.
Thank you.
Well, that's not going to happen, obviously. All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, if it's not hot where you are, it soon will be. Opening your windows will attract deviants and sex offenders to your home. Refugees arrive from war-torn Lebanon to war-torn Baltimore. The president tells the NAACP crowd they should invest in businesses and 401k plans.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right, so that's it. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503. Look at all those phone calls coming in already. At least one of those calls has to be at least quasi-relevant to something we discussed within the last day or two. I'd say there's at least a 5% chance that someone there might actually say something that is semi-helpful to you, Sarah. Never doubt the power of the Rick Emerson audience. Just nodding mutely. Okay.
I just need to get some coffee. I didn't have time.
You gotta quit not having... That's some weird grammar. You need to have more.
You
gotta quit none of that not having any lack of the coffee. Not.
No, I know. It's very random when you're in, like, the super perky, like, caffeinated mood and I'm not. Like, you're too much to handle right now.
I'm too much host for one woman
to handle. Yeah, you're crazy.
Baby, I'm too much man for one woman to listen to. I am kind of caffeinated today, aren't I? And I like it. All right, it's 503. And plus, well, see, here's the thing is that you... I'm not trying to cast aspersions. I'm just saying that one of us in this room... We exclude Tim just sort of by from these conversations. No offense. When I have conversations, no, it's just known that Tim does not factor into some of these equations. Because, again, as we've noted, Tim vanishes home and floats inside a saline-filled bubble between 3:15 and, like, 11:30.
Much to my pleasure.
Yes. You know what you are? You are like that Haddon Industries guy in Contact that lives in the space station and is bald.
Hello, Jodie Foster. I will be funding... I will be funding your space teleportation program. Hello, I look like Hunter Thompson.
That's what Tim Riley does, except without the Hunter Thompson and the bald and the so forth. Anyway, but one of us in this room was out drinking last night, and one of us was not. I will spoil now the suspense to tell you that I'm the one who was not. We went to this party for the... because when you think of me, you think parties. There's a party for the Willamette Week, and I should say, first up was very nice. It was this fantastic gathering of drag queens and guys on stilts.
Oh, that was so awful.
You weren't listening. Sarah was on the phone just now. I was going, no, it's great. It was a fantastic... No, it was
no,
awful.
No, the party was great, but those stilt people were freaking me out.
Stilt people. Well, when you think... when you think Portland and parties and Willamette and whatever, you think nighttime. This is like my thing with the so-called blues festival that happens in the park every year. I don't mean... I know that the kink... who's better than everyone, is involved with that. And I know that they do money for charity and so forth. But to me, blues are not something that should be played under the noonday sun with fat white people selling snow cones. You know? It's just not. It just seems wrong and weird. Blues, you know, late at night, small clubs, smoky, you know? A lot of guys in pinstripes. You think Willamette Week and they're having a party and launching a new lifestyle culture magazine or whatever, you know, whatever the magazine finder. You think, you know, it's sort of going to be at a, you know, a club or a bar. It's going to be at night. It's going to be sort of dark. It's going to be relaxed, a good time. No, it was under a vinyl tent, like the 100-degree sun, filled, I swear to God, filled with drag queens and men on stilts, and a full brass band playing inside a small, enclosed, like, confined area. And I'm not exactly sure who thought that was a good idea.
Look, we've got to... We're in this small space where everything is really loud and all noise is amplified. Let us now have a 15-piece brass band playing at full volume 5 feet away from partygoers. This will ensure a good review of our party.
And you just see lips moving and you shake your head, yes.
No, it was, we went out and
it was just bad timing because you're just getting ready to start schmoozing and then you can't talk to anybody because it's
seriously,
so deafening.
Just as you're getting ready to talk, suddenly there's sounds of Sweet Georgia Brown being played like 100 decibels suddenly. And so the only way to get away from it was to go stand in the sun. And so there's me and Sarah and Sarah's friend, Heather. Heather. And Brad, the car guy, all standing in the sun, sweating. Best day ever.
And the crazy guy with the sunglasses.
And then someone groped me.
And we're not saying it was a drunken Byron Beck.
Okay, that's Sarah Dillon who said that.
Hey!
It was a drunken Byron Beck. Repeatedly, by the way. First it was just a grope, then it was like a full-on, like I was getting one of those things they do to fat ladies where they wrap them in saran. You know what I'm talking about? They give you the body wrap. It was like I was being sized for one of those. Man, this is all awkward. Let's go now to the city desk, shall we? With Tim Riley.
Thank you. It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now,
news
from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Give out the reporting. Up first, before we talk about the weather, and we're going to,
let's trade a sofa for something.
A rock star supernova hopeful Jenny Galt is the latest to be kept from the competition during last night's elimination round of the CBS reality television program.
No.
Supernova Tommy Lee broke the news, telling her, quote, she just didn't cut it.
Oh, wait, should I be playing sound on this?
You should be.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was reading the thing.
It really kind of started a change in me.
Oh, no, she cries. She blubbers like a...
Oh, let's hear it.
Blubbers like a whale.
It really kind of started a change in
me. Maybe this will be the crying part.
This whole experience...
I like it
when
they
cry. And you guys being part of it has really taught me probably more in 3 weeks than I've ever learned in my entire life.
Cry.
So it's cool.
That's crazy.
Cry.
I describe it as the best slap in the face I ever got.
You know that turns Tommy Lee on, having a woman say the best slap in the face. Tommy Lee, by the way... I don't know whether somebody pulled him aside and said, look, you need to amp up the number of stupid sexual innuendos every week, Tommy. Or if he just decided that's his thing, or if that's just the way he is.
Or if he's not saying bring on the rock.
Oh, my God. Let's do a quick list of things that they don't need to say anymore. Bring on the rock.
Yeah.
You need to go out there and crush it. I don't even know what that means. You need to go out there and crush it. There's that. There's a whole bring it home. There's the Gilby Clark is taken to saying bring it home a lot. Here's Tommy Lee last night, though. Tommy Lee's like...
Was he drunk?
He usually is.
I don't know. I got to say, though, he was looking good last night. You know what that guy was able to
it's
make
like
work?
Every other week. Like, he goes on a bender
because,
and then he looks good.
But I'm
the
also...
Week.
Like he's at a Willamette Week party.
There are no stilts, though, and the sissy boys aren't there. Isn't that what they're called? Some drag queen troupe?
Yeah. They were the ones that I did.
I don't want anybody to think that I'm really knowledgeable about the drag queen troupe. But
no,
they were at the famous Mysterious Actors Show.
And one of them was super rude to me.
No,
but the rest
really?
Of them, but a couple of them are really nice.
That's hard to believe, actually, that like a really drunk drag queen would be rude to you.
He gave me like the snaps and looked me up and down. He's like, who are you?
Okay.
Why are you here?
All right. They're sort of
ridiculous.
They're kind of low-budget drag queens, if you look real close. It's sort of a... Like a Value Village sold a drag queen troupe. I mean, well, you remember that. Look,
they're entertaining this weekend at Big Lots.
No, I know. I know that we're all children of Jesus, but
and this is Portland, and we're supposed to be very understanding.
No. Look, I'm not trying to bust on the drag queens. All I'm saying is, you know how the off track again, but I don't care. Do you know how sometimes drag queens go out? I'm old man, as are most of us there. But you know, most of the drag queens, like the Darcells type drag, they go out of their way to try to look very feminine. They try to look very much like women. And Clyde has told that story many times that I'm sure has happened to a lot of guys, where Clyde, when he first moved here, went to Darcells, claims he didn't know it was a strip, or, you know, a drag queen place. And he's like, so then I'm talking to this hot Marilyn Monroe looking chick, and then I realize, you know, he's got a bulge where there shouldn't be, blah, 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 taken in because he's so feminine looking. The
What they call the Sissy Boys? The Sissy Boys, who we met because when Sarah did the famous Mysterious Actor Show, the opening act, so to speak, was this drag queen troupe, who then got all loaded up on alcohol and whatever, smashed a bunch of things, broke glasses on people. It was all very, very violent and disturbing. But they were there last night, and as opposed to most drag queens who try to look very, you know, feminine and very pretty, this group of drag queens, is it their shtick, or are they just underfunded? Because there's not a lot of effort. It's a lot of, like, armpit hair showing and, like, a wig that's askew.
And bulges in places there shouldn't be.
Bulges. And then, like half of the lips are done up with lipstick, and, like, there's makeup on one eye and not the other. And
I'm pretty sure it's intentional.
They'll belch and scratch themselves a lot. And
maybe they're from St. John's.
It's like watching Merlin Olsen try to be a drag queen. It just doesn't really work.
What was the topic?
I have no idea.
People on stilts and drag queens. Oh. That's the party we went to last night.
But how did we get onto that?
I don't know.
You were talking about rock star.
I was. Yeah.
Oh, Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
How did that work out even?
I don't know.
Anyway, but Tommy Lee every other week. Last night, though, he was rocking a pink suit. And I got to tell you, it worked. He looked pretty good in that. Tommy Lee, and it was like not like a tie, but I mean like a pink shirt, pink jacket. And it looked pretty good. He kind of made it work because he's so tough. Like, he can get away with that. It's like there's that music, that Toby Keith video where he's walking around the house like with an apron or something, and he can get away with it because he's big, like macho guy. Tommy Lee, same thing. But they told him to amp up all the sexual innuendos, I think, because at one point they were talking about what's her name that got voted off? Jill? Judy? Jackie? Who got voted off?
Peggy, Margaret.
Who got voted off last night?
Jenny.
And she was singing some sissy Lilith Fair song. And, well, that's what he called it. He said, we need less Ozfest, less Lilith, more Ozfest. But she sang, to be fair, she started out rocking, and then every performance since then has been more and more sort of adult contemporary. And so Tommy Lee's like, you're going soft, Jenny. And I hate it when it goes soft. You got to stay hard.
Oh, God.
I swear to God, that's what he said. And so I think somebody must have pulled him aside and told him, like, you need to be stupider and more obvious, even than you normally are. All right.
Well, you know what else was on last night?
I have no idea.
When Tom Cruise reportedly stopped the controversial South Park episode from airing, Comedy Central decided to run it again last night.
Cruise is in the closet.
This scene takes place right after the animated version of Cruise locks himself in the closet of South Park character Stan.
Dad, Tom Cruise won't come out of the closet.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen. We have a new
sound. Tom Cruise locked himself in my closet. He won't come out.
Mr. Cruise, come out of the closet.
No.
Come on, Mr. Cruise. This is ridiculous.
I'm never coming out.
Mr. Cruise, you can't just stay in the closet, all right? You need to come out.
What's going on?
Tom Cruise won't come out of the closet.
What?
Just leave me alone.
Well, we can't leave you alone because you won't come out of the closet.
Man, who watched that episode the only other time it was ever on? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
You are still there? Oh, my God. Come on. Come on! Come on. It's the best South Park of the last. And that's saying something.
Even better than Mr. Hankey?
No, it's so classic. It is an instant classic. And you know the whole story with this episode. Mm-hmm. That they aired it, and then Cruise, allegedly, said, I won't promote Mission Impossible 3, and a lot of fat good that did.
Yeah.
I won't promote Mission Impossible 3 if you let it air again. Well, now that Mission Impossible 3 is in the toilet, they were like,
McMenamins.
Yeah, and Parker and Stone, Trey Parker and Matt Stone threatened to walk. They said they were going to quit. They threatened to quit if they wouldn't let them re-air it because Comedy Central had yanked it. You've got to watch it because they hit in one episode. They hit Tom Cruise. They hit R. Kelly with that stupid Trapped in the Closet song of his. And then they just take a chainsaw to Scientology. It is so satisfying. It's as cheesy and as, whatever, as cheesy as this sounds, if you watch that episode, it will make you proud to be a South Park fan. Because I think we can safely say, and I've said this a lot, actually, that Trey Parker is sort of our people. You know, sort of like Kevin Smith is our people. We're all kind of on the same comedic wavelength. We hate the same things. We like the same things. Trey Parker and those guys, they really are talking to us and people like us. It will make you proud to be a South Park fan when you watch that because it's some of the most fantastic satire I've ever seen.
Head and animator Nicole Kidman tries to lure Tom Cruise out of the closet in this episode.
Tom, it's Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Tom, don't you think this has gone on long enough? It's time for you to come out of the closet.
I'm not in the closet.
Yes, you are, Tom. And you need to just end this and come out. I'm not going to think any differently of you. Katie's not going to think any differently of you. You don't need to be in that closet anymore, Tom.
I'm not in the closet.
Come out of the closet, Tom. You're not fooling anyone.
So it's... My microphone went off. But it's fantastic. It is... You really do need to watch it. And I think it's going to be on the new... the next DVD collection they put out, too. All these people are calling about Sarah's car and telling her what to... See, I told you. I told you the people would have thoughts. They would have input, advice, ruminations, punditry.
Yeah, but I don't want to bore everybody with talking
yes,
about
we do. Yes,
we're
we
here
do.
To help.
Yeah, we're yes.
Live, local, relevance.
Well, should we break?
We probably should.
Okay. Well, I apologize. If you're on hold, hang tight. We'll get you when we come back here. We'll get to Ron and Nancy and so forth and whatnot.
We'll be talking about the heat, too.
Yes. And then we'll be sharing tips for getting out stubborn stains and removing the balls of fur from your cat. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this on AM 970, Solid State Radio. So forth. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy will talk to us for no reason other than my desire to shallowly gloat about the defeat of Ralph Reed. And apparently Cindy McKinney got smacked around a little bit, too. She got forced into a runoff. It's just good news across the board today. Later on, Jim Roop will talk to us, and we will have a little mini recap of Rockstar Supernova from last night. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show live from Jerusalem, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Lisa, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
You don't really sound like you're doing well. Oh, forgive the brutal honesty. You sound as though you are perhaps ever so slightly unwell.
Yeah, well, I know word travels fast. Your listeners don't need to hear about me, but yeah, I caught some kind of bug over here. But the fever's gone down, so that's good news. And I've got some kind of Miracle Max type pill.
A Miracle Max type pill. Okay, that's you get like chocolate. 50 extra points with the audience right there for that reference. So you were only mostly dead, not completely.
I am only mostly dead,
all right,
exactly.
Fantastic. All right, well, I don't even really know at this point how to understand. Wait, here, let me ask you this about the situation between Israel and Hezbollah. And because it changes so quickly, are things escalating or de-escalating, or is it the same, or can you even tell at this point?
Yeah, you know, I think things are escalating. I think they plateaued for the last 2 days, and there's a potential that they could hit a new phase very soon. You know, first we saw the rockets from Hezbollah and the bombardments from Israel, and then yesterday we saw some Israeli ground troops going in to hit a few compounds from Hezbollah, and we know more about this now. We know that Israel sent in some troops to sweep the area. They did encounter some guerrillas, no surprise there, but there was a firefight, and the Israeli troops needed some backup. So a rescue crew was sent in for them, and then that spread into a much bigger gunfight, which included some anti-tank missiles. Hezbollah took out one of Israel's tanks. So we know they do have some serious weapons, still not the firepower of Israel, but that's going on right now, the firefight on the border. So that's the status right now, but Israel has just dropped flyers across a very wide zone on the other side of the Lebanese border, telling people to evacuate. And, you know, that could mean more bombardments, or it could mean a larger ground war.
Let me ask you this. Should we interpret the fact that the United States has not just come out and told Israel to stop this as some sort of tacit endorsement of their desire to get rid of Hezbollah once and for all?
You know, I'm supposed to give you an answer that doesn't pin me down to an opinion.
That's what we won't tell anybody.
I think the answer is yes. I think the U.S. is by not doing anything now, is giving Israel the leeway to continue hammering away at Hezbollah areas of southern Lebanon until it's satisfied.
And I know that Tony Snow tried very hard to sidestep that question this morning. But, I mean, from an outside perspective, that certainly seems to be that is my inference anyway. So is it true that the United States was actually charging American citizens who were in Lebanon to get out of there and get home?
You know, that was the original plan. When they pulled the book off the shelf, that was what was in the binder. And the White House says, because of course immediately Democrats in Washington jumped all over that and started talking about Katrina and just how bad the U.S. is at evacuations in general. But the White House says that that's according to congressional law, and that Congress passed a law saying that the U.S. has to charge evacuees in this situation. But Condoleezza Rice stepped in and said, no, we won't charge them. Obviously Congress supported that. They're not going to raise any hoo-ha about it. And really the only cost for some of the evacuees is they might have to pay for their flights back home from Cyprus.
Yeah, all in all, not a bad deal, though. Just if in the bargain you get to be out of there.
Seems yeah, like that's they, right. Exactly. That's yeah. right.
All right. Well, we hope you continue to recover and recuperate. Lisa, we will talk to you very soon.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Thank you. Lisa Goddard, who made a Miracle Max reference just moments ago on this radio program, live in Jerusalem. Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. I skipped. See, it would have been overkill at the end if I had given her, like, a have fun storming the Hezbollah. You know, it's just would have been one step too far. I'm all about subtlety and sort of a rapier, like wit. No, I'm very subtle.
I don't think you should have given Tim that Sun magazine.
Oh, no. Thank you for mentioning that. Look at you. We want to thank Hans. Hans, who is a listener of ours. Now, you may have remember Hans was the guy who was calling us from the London School of Economics, where he was. He's from here, was attending school in London. And then I don't know. Where is he? The Northern Territories? What is that? Is that in Canada?
Yes, it is.
All right. So he's going to Canada. So he was born in Portland, listened to the show, moved to Britain, was going to the London School of Economics, had this show broadcast via a podcast throughout his dorm, which is fantastic. Now he is back here. And then he's going up to Canada. Anyway, long story short, though, he brought us a bunch of copies of The Sun. And The Sun is probably the best newspaper that ever was.
It's like having the Inquirer every day.
That's what I'm saying.
A brand new Inquirer.
The Sun is very clearly what American tabloids were modeled on. It's what the New York Post. Imagine a whole paper that was just like page 6 from the New York Post. It's genius. And plus, there's the page 3 girl. So he brought us multiple copies
only
of The Sun.
Only 35 pence a day.
I don't even know what that means. What is that? Don't they have a thing in Britain called, halfpenny? Halfpenny?
A haypenny?
Haypenny? What is it? Is that literally half a penny?
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
Tim?
I don't think so.
Well, what is a haypenny?
You got me.
What is tuppence?
I don't know. There are too many unanswerable questions going on here. But the sun is 35 pence.
It's like a riddle wrapped in an enigma wrapped in some cheese. Okay, it's 35 pence, just in case you were wondering. The best part about The Sun is how they just dispense with all subtlety. Like in the front here, you are the son of a terrorist whore, says this headline in the front of whenever this is paid. There's no dates, apparently.
You're not reading the St. John Sentinel?
No. The St. John Sentinel, do you have that? This right here. I hold in my hands.
Well, officially, it's called the crime issue, which is like every issue.
Which is every issue.
They have special advertising rates for the merchants for the crime issue.
I hold here in my hands the July 2006 edition of the St. John's Sentinel. And then right here, the lead story, no hoes in no po. Prostitution no longer a thriving industry along interstate. It's good that they got rid of the one growth market there was in St. John's has now been eradicated. Thank God.
Then we have gangsters just want to be loved.
And then right here is a big picture of the Get Motel featuring jacuzzi suites.
Watch out for meth fiends.
Yes. All right. Anyway.
Crime? What crime? Okay, there is some crime.
Okay. In any event, it's 503-733-2970. We got the McCarthy coming up later on. Jim Rupert, Tim Riley.
Well, wary Americans who had been caught in the bombing of Lebanon have arrived back in the United States. They brought them to Baltimore. They thought the ship took a U-turn and brought them back. The passengers didn't rest easy.
Detroit was full.
Mm-hmm. It's so fearful to be outside. It doesn't specify if they're talking about Lebanon or Baltimore.
Baltimore, which I do believe at this point has the highest crime rate in the country per capita and the most murders per year. Well done, Baltimore.
Yeah. And
You can get good crabs there, though, so.
One woman said, I thought we were going to die 100 times. She doesn't specify if that's about Baltimore or Lebanon. All right. Way back. Time for the Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch.
Ugh, this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
Faster than a speeding bullet. Comic book superheroes are coming to a post office near you. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Supergirl, and about a half dozen other superheroes will start a new postage stamp to be released today. They're 39 cents.
It gets all into the post office. I'm going to go back to writing letters immediately.
So they're sold in sheets of 20, half featuring the individual superheroes and half showing covers of comic books starring them.
When is the last time anybody here went and actually mailed a letter at the post? When is the last time anybody here wrote a letter longhand to somebody? I bet you've done it frequently. You seem like a letter writer. Yeah, I bet you write handwritten thank you notes.
I do. Well, my mom, yeah.
She drilled it into you. You got a weird... Here's the thing about you. Here's another way in which you, Sarah Dillon, are weird. And freakish. And smelly. No, I'm taking it.
I knew
you were going to be reacting to weird. So see, I was trying to take it comically far, and then I pull back and go, no, just weird. No, because you're kind of a study in contrasts. In that... I don't know. You are one of the edgy youth of today, living on society's fringe, and yet you got all this weird mismanners stuff about you. Like, you know way more about etiquette than I do, or anybody who like you have a lot of skull and crossbone stuff in your wardrobe for somebody who knows a lot about manners.
These good manners just have to be stopped.
No, it's just interesting. I'm saying you got many facets. You're like a quiche. You're like a cultural quiche. What it is.
I am a typical Navy child.
Yeah, so
that's little pieces from everywhere you live.
I would never know. Like, I don't think I've ever sent a thank you note in my life to anybody for anything. I think I've sent some like emails that are like, thanks, great, you know, whatever. That's it. I got nothing.
Huh.
When is the last time you sent a letter?
Letter?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Thanking someone?
Well, see,
I have nothing to thank anybody for. I've done everything myself.
Thank you for living in my slum. Thank you. Thank you for not noticing.
I can see Tim sending out Christmas cards.
I do. And, you know, I bought a box of several Christmas cards many years ago, and I still haven't used the whole box, so everyone gets the same card from me every year.
Do you know what I found in my basement, actually, about 6 months ago, was the letters that my mom, the thank you letters that my mom got, or not thank you, but invitations to my high school graduation, which were never sent. A, because I'm rude, and B, because it was unclear about whether I was going to graduate. And so they just kind of went in a box, and I found them about 6 months ago underneath some other crap in my basement.
I've kept every card I've ever received in a bag. I still haven't...
Is that true?
Yep, I've kept every Christmas card and birthday card I've ever received. Get a big bag full of them.
Why?
Those are things you don't throw away.
Okay.
Wow.
They just go right in the trash. I just look for money, and then they go right in the shredder. I don't keep it. I'm not trying to be like overly curmudgeonly. It's just not a thing I do. I don't know. It's just I read them. I commit the sentiment to memory. I say, that was nice. Bob sent me a card. Into the trash.
That's very Courier and Ives. Thank you.
It's just not a thing that I do. I do keep. I don't so much anymore. There was this time in my radio career when I kept everything that related to me or my job, like not in a scrapbook, it's just a kind of in a big box, but all my radio stuff, like, you know, like...
bumper stickers.
Well, yeah, bumper stickers, T-shirts, just memos saying, like I've got a memo saying, you know, and we welcome Rick to the staff, you know, give him a big hello in the hallways. He will be, you know, from like my very first radio jobs. I have an angry memo. I got a threatening to fire me memo when I was about 16. This guy, who I will not name, because I think he's not here. He's still around. Although I was happy to see, by the way, that he's now working. He's now working at like a miserable job at a terrible radio station in Kennewick, and his career has degenerated from what it once was.
Mine's a lot worse. He got sent to Billings last week.
Really?
Yep. I just applauded and smiled to myself.
Hey, you know, can I just tell you this? One of the guys who fired me, I had a guy who fired me one time, and he got busted for prostitution. Not for being a prostitute, but for soliciting.
No-ho?
This is a great story. I'll tell you the story right now, and I will leave any identifying marks and characteristics and scars out of it. Mm-hmm. But there's a guy, and some of you who maybe have been listening to me in one place or another for many years may have heard me discuss this guy by name before, which I no longer do since this happened to him. Because I figure, you know, what are you going to do? But this is a guy who fired me, fired all of us, and
something that wasn't proper for work just turned up in this news.
Oh, the page three girl? Uh-huh. Yeah, you'll want to skip right by that. But a guy who had fired me and fired several people, he then later on was looking for, and he was in a southern state. I know I'm being deliberately vague about it, but he was in a southern state years after he fired me. But he was on my enemies list because he was just an a-hole. And he fired me and a lot of people that I liked. And, you know, part of it is you get fired, but he was a real jerk in a lot of other ways. Just a real tool. Just a guy asking for it. Years later, he was in a large southern market. And they had offered him a job called operations manager. And an operations manager is like your super program director. It's like you are a program director over a whole series. It's a big job, big paying, lots of prestige. He's he's there. He aces the interview. They love all of his history. He shows them his ratings track records. They love all of that stuff. They're negotiating it. He negotiates bonuses and salary and leave and all of that stuff. He's in town for a three-day trip. And they're like, well done, Bob. Come back tomorrow and we'll sign this deal, which would give you $5 million a year. And they do. Great. We'll ink it tomorrow. He decides to throw himself a little celebration and he goes to a brothel that night and is like, well, I guess I'm going to get this job. I'll go to this illegal brothel tonight to celebrate while my wife and children are back home. Bam! Cops kick in the door, arrest him right on the front page of the paper. Uh-huh. In a local brothel raided. On the front, here's this big fat bastard being led out of the brothel in handcuffs. Next day, job taken away. Wife, children left him. Now drinking alone in a flop house. It's fantastic. Sometimes you really do believe in Jesus. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
So the characters on these stamps are...
I have no idea.
Paying attention.
No, it's because I save everything I ever got, and I did save that news story about that guy. Mm-hmm. But, the thing about putting these superheroes on stamps, you want to find a Democrat. You couldn't find a group of people who are less likely to use the post office. When is the last time a geek went to the post office for anything?
I went there to buy stamps.
Yeah, I just go to the machine. That's about it, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Same thing. So who's on these stamps? Batman, Wonder Woman, Plastic Man, Superman.
Plastic Man?
Plastic Man.
Is there another stamp of Don Adams?
Doesn't say.
All right.
This is after an accident in the chemical plant gives Eel O'Brien the ability to stretch and alter his shape. He renounces his criminal past and becomes the longest arm of the law. He debuted in 1941. They have Superman, of course. Green Lantern, The Flash, Aquaman, Hawkman, Supergirl, and Green Arrow.
All right, so there you go. There's your Geek Watch for Thursday.
I grab Thor's hammer by the Sons of Warvan. I shall avenge you.
Next. Loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
Have you looked at this?
What?
I'm being eaten alive by heroin?
Yeah.
Somebody
excerpt that out. All right. It's 50. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, you don't.
All right, you got to put that down.
St. John Sentinel.
Somebody's being distracted by heroin pictures in the sun. All right, is that a picture of an arm that's just being rotted away? Yeah, you should call it that. You should stop reading that. Okay. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Ladies and gentlemen, the National Weather Service has issued an excessive heat warning for this afternoon, and heat advisories extend into the weekend forecast.
By the way, we've got this from Todd the Corpse. He says, just to let you know, my forecast icons on the computer for Friday and Saturday are, once again, thermometers on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yep. By the way, open windows may cool your house. There are also temptations for criminals seeking easy access. A Cambie woman is recovering from heat stroke. Apparently, this 68-year-old passed out on the couch of a mobile home. You know, these mobile homes are like living in a sardine can when it's hot out. It's like 500 degrees in there.
Seriously.
Paramedics use available ice packs and frozen food from her refrigerator in an effort to cool her down. She lost 53 pounds while taking a nap in her trailer.
How old was she, an old woman?
68.
Well, that's...
The temperature reached 120 degrees inside this trailer.
Why would you not just open the door and go somewhere else?
It's an invitation to criminals.
Yes. Okay.
Time for the Hick Watch.
Here's your double. Hick Watch.
A double one.
A double Hick Watch. Fantastic. Here's your double Hick Watch. Thursday.
Copenhagen makes me feel so good. Copenhagen, we're near them soon. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering on around the house. That Copenhagen makes me feel so good. Oh, yeah.
A state judge has ruled that North Carolina's 201-year-old law barring unmarried couples from living together is unconstitutional. The ACLU sued last year to overturn the really enforced law on behalf of a former sheriff's dispatcher who said she had to quit her job because she wouldn't marry a live-in boyfriend. 40-year-old Deborah Hobbs says her boss, Sheriff Carson Smith of Pender County, told her to get married, move out, or find another job after he found out she and her boyfriend were living together in sin for 3 years.
You know, the most ridiculous part of all of these laws, this is like that Georgia law about how you can't have a sex toy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a virus. And we should ask Ed McCarthy, embarrassing as it may be, how exactly that took. Because I can't remember the resolution of that case. Isn't that the one that went all the way to the Supreme Court?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you were allowed to own a vibrator? But the most ridiculous part about it is that, look, every state has these old, these blue laws.
They're one of seven states that prohibit cohabitation.
Yeah, Utah is filled with these. Utah is filled with laws about, like, you can't sell fish on Sunday and crap. Just, like, bizarre laws that hold over 150 years ago, which I understand, you know, society marches onward in progress, blah, 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 blah. But every time there's a lawsuit like this, the state, just like a cop or a teacher, feels the need to dig in its heels and fight to keep the law on the books for no readily apparent reason. Your tax dollars at work.
This is also from North Carolina.
This is a great story.
A man who is legally blind accidentally shot and killed his wife while trying to balance a plate of fried chicken and a pistol. Kelly Honeycutt of Morgantown, North Carolina, was moving into a new home with his wife, Norita. Honeycutt, who found the .38 caliber pistol in the box, shot his wife in the head after she handed him the food.
Okay, there's some part of this story that's not being revealed, because why would you... In what, like, what set of circumstances would have occurred? What is the context in which you would be walking around your house, presumably a mobile house, mm-hmm. while balancing a plate of chicken and a handgun? I mean, were you stealing the chicken from someone else? Did the chicken look particularly threatening in some fashion? I was reading the story this morning, and I was trying to figure out, like, the before. Not so much the after, which I imagine just involves some sort of bleeding. But I'm trying to figure out the before of how he would have come to be balancing a gun and chicken at the same time. And he's blind. When would you let your blind husband even touch a handgun? Why would you do that?
You got me. Well, no charges have been filed by investigators, but the case is sent to the county prosecutor's office for final determination. They had a storybook marriage. No history of domestic violence, no indication of alcohol abuse. It looks like a case of bad timing while handling a gun.
Yes, okay. There's your hick watch. Yeah. And the fact that it's fried chicken is just, that's the icing on the cake right there.
It feels good. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house. That Copenhagen makes me feel so good. How about you?
Out to Florida we go now.
Oh, oh! Okay, that is dirty pool. He hadn't even finished saying Florida and you were firing it.
Off to Florida now.
Okay, but he had said off to... He hadn't even gotten the oar out.
That's running a tight board like back in the old days.
What old days?
A long-forgotten art.
What?
Back in the days of the big time.
I was going to say, in what version of the show in the past was there ever a tight board run? When are you referring to?
You're right.
Okay. Off to Fleur. Were you looking ahead?
No.
Did he tip you off?
Yes, Tim and I have secret meetings before the show.
No, I'm just...
Telepathy.
Who knows what you talk about? I'm just saying. All right.
A student at the University of Central Florida is accused of setting fire on campus as a way to meet women. The police say Matthew Dembski admitted to lighting a couch on fire at the academic village dorm. Dembski told officers he hoped to be able to meet women as the building was being evacuated. He was arrested on arson and booked to
the
Orange County
jail. Men are so embarrassing sometimes.
There were no injuries in connection with that fire.
Brad and I were talking about this yesterday because we were at the Willamette Week party last night. And like that guy that came up to us. Okay, so yesterday afternoon we're at this Willamette Week party and it's me. And this story is embarrassing on like 100 different levels. It was me and Sarah and Sarah's friend Heather. And who I am saying it that way because I was trying to be witty and funny in front of her, and then I called her by the wrong name. And it's not on the level of, like, calling a girl by the wrong name when you're in an intimate moment. But, I mean, it was, you know, it's in the same family. Because I was trying to be all, like, charm. This is what we were talking about yesterday. How I'm such an idiot. You know what I am? I'm one of those little wind-up monkeys that has the cymbals in his hands. You know, you just wind them up, and it's like a clang, clang, clang. You put me in the presence of any hot girl, and immediately I have to be, like, the most charming, like, the super Rick. And it always fails. It is like a self-regulating sort of thing. It's almost, you know, like it's a planned obsolescence just to really keep me from being able to get into any trouble. So I'm trying to be all witty and like cracking jokes and trying to be my normal charming self. And all went right until I called Heather Amanda, which apparently she hates because didn't she used to live with Amanda?
Well, her and Amanda are good friends, and yeah. I guess it's happened to her entire life.
So she gets called Amanda all the time, so I immediately went from the category of, like, look what a charming and a handsome young man. How well-dressed he is. He makes me laugh. I think I'll make him my gentleman friend. I immediately got shunted into the category of another idiot a-hole guy who called me by my roommate's name. Never talked to again. So I'm sitting...
Heather did meet a guy. Actually, when we went to OBA afterward... She got hit on by some really cute guy, so
really?
That's okay.
Wow, so thanks. Yeah. That makes me feel a lot better. Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks. That I ate dust right in front of her, but then later a cute guy picked up on it. Thank you. Yes, that's made me feel... I feel infinitely better about my self-esteem at this point.
No, I was just letting you know you didn't ruin her whole night.
I'm glad to know that I could... I'm glad to know that I could be the warm-up act for somebody, that I could... for the headliner who came in later to swoop in on your hot friend. Thanks. Thanks for helping. So we're standing there on the sidewalk, and it's me and her and you and Brad the car guy. And Brad wanders off to get a drink or something, and then some other guy, none of us knows, some guy who's already well lubricated because he's been at the party for several hours, just comes over, stands uncomfortably close to all of us, and then just begins talking right to your chest for no readily apparent reason. And it's like you're smoking a cigarette or whatever. What are the little thin ones?
Capris.
Virginia Slims.
Virginia Slims.
Come a long way, baby.
Immediately walks up and starts, "So, those are long, skinny cigarettes. I'm looking at your breasts for no reason."
And he wouldn't go away, so sorry, I ditched you guys.
No, and then Sarah does that thing of, "I'm tired of talking to this man. I'm leaving now." So Sarah just walks off. Suddenly, it's me and the creepy guy and Heather all alone. It's like, what am I supposed to do? He just ignores me and begins talking to her cleavage at that point. And I'm just, and then she leaves. She's like, "I've got to use the bathroom or something." So she leaves, and then it's me and the creepy guy. And I guess I thought he was there to hit on you guys, but I guess he was just desperately lonely and wanted a friend. Because then he started talking to me. And at one point, he was talking and he was making some point, and I actually just turned and sort of walked away. I was like, "Yeah, I got it. Like, yeah, okay." And she was gone. So, but Brad had witnessed the whole thing, and Brad came over and just, I'm so ashamed to be a man sometimes. Because it was just so relentless and obvious and embarrassing for all of us. And it's going to end. And, like, he's talking to you, and then he's talking to Heather. And, like, I'm sitting there watching the whole thing. And as a straight man, I'm taking it all in. And I could tell, like, 2 seconds in that you had no interest. Even if you were single, you had no interest in the guy. And then it's like that guy that came up to Heather apparently at one point. She relayed this story to us. I can probably tell this.
Which one? Yeah.
She was...
That's fine.
Heather, Sarah's hot friend Heather was relating the story. Because I was... And I, of course, like all night, I felt the need to apologize to her for
and
getting her name
her
wrong.
I told you were going to obsess about this all day.
I totally obsessed. If you screw up, or if you just somehow put your foot right into it in the presence of a hot girl, you will obsess about that for the rest of your life. I will be 85 years old, sitting in my own filth somewhere and eating a lot of strained peas. And I was sitting there going, "I remember that hot girl, Heather. I was trying to be impressive, and then I called her a man." That'll be my last, as I'm dying, that'll be one of the final thoughts that floats through my head, how I blew it with some hot girl. But I'm apologizing to her later. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sorry I called you by the wrong, I'm a tool. Please, do you find me charming when I apologize like this? Just flailing, you know, just being a nerd." And then she reveals something that made me feel a lot better, which is that apparently at one point a guy came up to her at a party and said, "Hey, did we F one time?" And like that was his opening line to her. And then she followed it by saying, "And his job was selling meat out of the back of a truck." So that guy was never going to get it from her for like 50 different reasons. All right. We are so late. All right.
And then my really bad date was there too.
Yes. Yeah, this is, and you were not being as quiet about that as you think you were, by the way, because you'd had a little bit to drink.
I only had like one beer. Heather had like four.
You sound a little fuzzy around the edges. That's all I'm saying. You were not in any way falling down drunk. You did not embarrass yourself in any way. But I am, because we might as well tell the story. So we're sitting there at this Willamette Week party last night. This is in between gropings by Byron Beck, by the way, who started groping you. And then just like, I guess because I was standing next to you, like I was just next in line.
I don't have the right equipment, Rick. You do.
Yes. Well, because it was first it was just, you know, and it's just, I know that with, you know, he's, you know, we like Byron. He's a good guy. I know that with, it comes with the territory with that guy. You're talking to him and eventually he'll just sort of, whenever we're talking to Byron Beck, who is the Queer Window author from the Willamette, he's been on the show a couple times to talk about Canada's Gone Wild, and you know he's from Kennewick, and so we've kind of bonded over that. But I just know it goes with the territory. At a certain point, I'll be talking to him, and he'll just sort of touch one of my buttocks. I think just to be kooky. So I just. You just sort of steel yourself for it. You know what I mean? And women must have to go through this a lot. Like, women must know guys all the time who just, you talk, and they'll find some excuse to brush up against you as they're passing each other on a stairwell at a party. "Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I brush up against your bosom? So, that was a mistake. Oh, let me do it again. I feel terrible." And so I get that from Byron. He's like, "Hey, Rick, good to see you." I'm like, "Hey, Byron." And then he gives me the grab on the backside. I'm like, "Okay, there it's done. All right, now I've suffered.
I've suffered my toll.
I've we have Totally. I've weathered the storm. I'm good. And so later I'm talking to the Brad and his wife, and I'm standing there, and suddenly it's just like a pair of arms encircling me from the back. And then you ever hear that when you're at a party or you're someplace and somebody begins to touch you from, you know, a plate, you can't see who it is? Or like they'll do that thing of coming up and putting their hands over your eyes and going, guess who? And you immediately start going through, like, as quick as you can, a mental filofax of who it could be. Except that there was no voice. It was just a pair of hands encircling my abdomen last night as I'm at this Willamette Week party. And I immediately am going through the Rolodex of who could this possibly be? And, of course, in my Rolodex is all women. It's all chicks. I'm thinking, what hot chick could be coming up? And then I turn around and, you know, it's just sort of like no disrespect to Byron. But because I was anticipating it being any number of, you know, maybe hot girls that were there, sort of like waking up at the horse's head in The Godfather, you know, just sort of, who's putting their arms? You know, and then I just got the full grope, and he just, man, it was just didn't want to let go.
You brought this up quite a few times.
Because I'm trying to get it out of my system. I'm trying to flush it out. We should break here. Okay. Coming up, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. What else? CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be joining us as well. Oh, we'll talk about we'll do the Week in Geek. We'll have a little bit of David Cassidy news. And we'll do a quick rock star mini recap. Sarah Dillon's Band-Aid on the way as well. And we have an update on the vegan fight. Stay there. It is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. As you-